Are you looking for a first communion, confirmation, or graduation gift? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is the new bonded leather cover edition of Luther's Small and Large Catechisms. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 and request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, Martin Luther's Small and Large Catechisms, 1-800-325-3040. I see a headline from Religion News Service. India's Prime Minister Modi pursues politics of Hindu nationalism. It's interesting, a lot of the writing about the recent elections there in what will soon be the world's most populous nation, India, they have some parallels with how people think about politics here in the United States, but it's a nationalist bent, there's no doubt about it, and it centers for Prime Minister Narendra Modi around Hindu identity. What should we know about the difference between Hinduism as a set of beliefs, such as they are, and this kind of politicized Hinduism, or as it's being called there, Hindutva? Not Hinduism, but Hindutva. What's the difference between the two? Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. Coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Stanish Stanley will be our guest. We'll talk about Hinduism in India's recent general election. We're going to spend some time with Holly Shear discussing factual errors in Naomi Wolf's latest book. It's actually a version of her uncompleted doctoral dissertation from Oxford, but it has a huge error in it that essentially undoes the premise of the entire thing. She was written about homosexuality in Victorian England, and she got something really super wrong. Then Dr. Nathaniel Blake will join us, senior contributor to The Federalist. We'll talk about the popularity of socialism. Joining us to discuss Hinduism in India's recent general election, Dr. Stanish Stanley, a pastor in the India Evangelical Lutheran Church and executive director of Christian Friends of New Americans. Dr. Stanley, welcome back.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me, Todd. Always a pleasure to kind of come and join you on the show.
What can you tell us about Prime Minister Narendra Modi and his use of Hindu identity to win elections?
Well, Hindu identity is driven especially by a wounded psyche within Indian Hindus, so to speak, about their past, about the history that they've been exposed to, that they've been taught, that they have been imbibed in. And it is all about the invaders, the others coming and dominating India, taking away their land, becoming rulers of the land, all that kind of thing. And so it's a long history, and there is a sense of animosity and hatred which has been dwelling inside the Hindu psyche, inside the Hindu mind, for almost a century now, ever since Indians started fighting against the British for independence. And so during that period of time, the British ruled us for almost 175 years, and we became free in 1947. And the Indian fathers at the time chose to take the liberal secular route, parliamentary democracy and all that, British style, and establish the constitution along a secular kind of a framework. But there was always, I think, on the periphery, but not peripheral in power and influence, but in the thought process, in acceptability, they were always peripheral. And those were the Hindu right wing. And somewhere in the 1920s, they even ended up establishing an organization called as the Rashtriya Swayamsevak Sangh, which is the RSS, pretty much modeled along lines of the fascist Italian leader Mussolini and all that. They were basically driven and kind of inspired by the way fascism was established in Italy. And so it's taken a long time, but all these kind of factors have kind of come together. The feeling that the Muslim invaders was ruled over India for so many years, 400, 500 years. 500 years, and then the British has come, and then they take over, and then we were always run by the Spaniards or by the Portuguese or by the French, you know. So those kind of that animosity, that feeling of being taken over by others, and that now this is our land, and we want to now establish a Hindu Rashtra, a Hindu kingdom, our glorious days. Even when I was at school, I used to hear from my friends who were mostly high caste Hindus, who would say that India was the land of gold and, you know, of prosperity. And then all these invaders came and took everything away. And so all that has kind of built into this this feeling that this is our identity. We are Hindus to the very core. We've got hold of our country now. And it's time that the awakening of the Indian Hindu mind has happened. We cannot allow the Muslims and the Christians and all these leftovers who are hanging around in India, which is around 15-20%. We don't want them to dominate us anymore. And so for the Hindu identity, it is very important now to take control over their destiny. They want to rule. And they want to rule not from a liberal, secular, you know, equalitarian kind of a perspective, but rather Hindu is right and Hindu is might, and we are going to lead our country to great glory. And so that's basically where everything comes from.
So would you distinguish between Hinduism as a set of beliefs and what the press is calling Hindutva, this kind of Hindu nationalism?
Yes. Hindu nationalism is Hindutva. It is what I explained all this just now is basically the overarching framework with which people have started going forward, especially the Hindu right wing that won power under Prime Minister Narendra Modi. For them, Hindutva is the main thing, and Hindutva means the essence of being Hindu, the essence of not only the religion but also the essence of being who you are as a person and as a person of this land. This belongs to us. So that's basically the idea. Whereas Hinduism is more of is seen more from a religious perspective. You might believe in thousands of, in fact, they say 330 million gods and goddesses. And so you might believe in all these religious, you can worship whatever you want, whomever you want, maybe be an atheist and still be a Hindu. But that is Hinduism. It's basically your religious beliefs. That has nothing to do, because Hinduism is a constructed religion in the sense of all these gods and goddesses being put into one framework. And so naturally, there is no space for anything that is monocultural or mono-belief. It is, there is Hindutva. It tries to bring everything to its essence and say that, hey, no, this is all one. We have one culture, we have one nation, we are one people. So that's the basic difference between Hinduism and Hindutva, I would say.
Dr. Stanis Stanley is our guest. We're talking about Hinduism and India's recent general election. He's a pastor in the India Evangelical Lutheran Church. When we come back, we read a lot about Hindu on Muslim violence under Hindutva. How does Christianity fare under this nationalist mindset?
God decided to love you. He wasn't content to sort of love you at a distance. He wanted to get up close when that happened, which is why Christ took on human flesh.
Pastor Hans Feeney of Lutheran Satire talking about his presentation at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
But even after Christ ascended to the right hand of the Father, God still wanted to dwell with you through the flesh and blood of his Son. He wanted to be physically present and in the room when he covered you in forgiveness and life and salvation. So that's why he's given his church the Lord's Supper, and that's why we should rejoice every time God comes into the room and invites us to feast on the same flesh and the same blood that won our salvation at Calvary.
You can meet and hear Pastor Hans Feeney making the case for the Lord's Supper at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 7th and 8th in Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union was formed to serve you and to serve the church. During May, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their Ministry of the Month, Dakota Boys and Girls Ranch. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU. Good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at LutherAcademy.com. LutherAcademy.com and like them on Facebook. Facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilken. We're talking about Hinduism and India's recent general election. Dr. Stanish Stanley, pastor in the India Evangelical Lutheran Church, is our guest. Dr. Stanley, we have been reading about, under this Hindu nationalism, increasing violence from Hindus toward Muslims there in India. How does Christianity fare under Hindutva?
Not great, really. For Hindus, the bigger demonized is Muslims, because they are almost 14-15% of India. And their immediate target is to brand everybody as being from Pakistan, because Pakistan has been traditionally India's Achilles heel. They have been kind of a problematic neighbor. They support cross-border terrorism. And there might be a lot of issues connected with that that really troubles the Indian psyche quite a bit. But at the same time, the Hindutva project, and especially led by its political parties like the Bharatiya Janata Party, the BJP, to which Prime Minister Modi belongs, and also the RSS and all that, for them it has become a kind of a science to almost give kind of a dog whistle conversation perspective, guiding light to say that all Muslims in India are basically people from Pakistan. So the identification is always done from the Indian Muslims. It is connected to people from Pakistan. And so that naturally kind of fires up the temperament quite a bit against them, especially for Hindus. Now, Christians, on the other hand, are technically also seen as outsiders because they are basically vestiges of British rule. The missionary movement, there was a lot of issues during that period of time where Hindus were very unhappy about what happened with missionaries converting Indians. Even Mahatma Gandhi, for that matter, who is considered the father of the nation, wanted a liberal secular framework, also saw missionaries as a problem. He basically said that missionaries were basically converting for convenience. All those conversions that were taking place were because of convenience of giving them something to eat or drink. So they basically derided conversions. And presently what is happening is that for Muslims, one of the targets, one of the ways Muslims are targeted is by calling upon them as beef eaters, people who eat beef. And so there have been lynchings in India with people who are caught with having beef in their bags or whatever. If some cow is dead somewhere, some Muslims are attacked. But interestingly, even the Dalits, people at the lowest bottom of Hindu society, the so-called untouchables, are also beef eaters. And so even though they technically come under Hinduism, but they also were at the receiving end of this beef-eating lynchings that were taking place under Prime Minister Modi's rule. And in this case, in this situation, one has to remember that most of the Christians basically came from the lowest strata of society. They were mostly from the Dalit communities and also mostly from the tribal communities who have also been traditionally beef-eating people. And so all this to say that Muslims and Christians, especially those people who could be easily kind of assign the image of eating beef, disrespecting the mother cow, become easy targets in this entire process. Of course, violence has gone up against Christians in the past. In 2016-17, they found the Christian Council came out with some numbers saying that the violence against Christians had gone up almost around 20% than previously. And so there are various ways by which they do it. They would go and just barge into a worshiping church and just burn down the church, or maybe beat up the priest, or beat up the people who go to church, threaten them with violence, in extreme cases, rape women. So these are some of the things that happen. But it's always seen as something which is done on the fringes by some fringe lumpen groups. And the right wing power brokers basically get away with it by saying that, hey, we are not supporting these things. It's some lumpen fellows doing something on the side. We don't know anything about it. But as I said, it's all a science. You strike terror into certain groups, and then they slowly get demonized as people who are outsiders, who are beef eaters, and a nuisance to the country, a disrespect to the Hindu mind. And so these are some of the ways by which persecution has happened in India, not only to Christians, but also to other minority groups, especially the Muslims.
Dr. Stanish Stanley is pastor in the India Evangelical Lutheran Church. He's executive director of Christian Friends of New Americans. You can find a link to Christian Friends at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Stanley, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me.
Holly Shearer is our guest on the other side of the break. We're going to talk about some factual errors, one really, really big one, in Naomi Wolf's latest book on homosexuality in Victorian England. Then Dr. Nathaniel Blake will join us to talk about the popularity of socialism.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hi, this is Pastor Eric Lang of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Gresham, Oregon. One thing I've asked of the Lord, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Mount Hood, Multnomah Falls, the Oregon coast. Oregon is beautiful, but nothing compares to the beauty of the Lord's house. If you are vacationing in the Portland area, please come join us at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Gresham, where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one. For more information, go to wheretheliturgylives.org.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.